Hello, hello. It is Saturday night, which is normally just reggae night, but I'm also doing a live stream tonight because we have some stuff that's been going on that I wanted to talk about. If you were watching the stream a little bit ago and there was some freezing and technical issues, don't worry about that. That wasn't the actual show yet. So, first off, I want to play this quick video. It's very accurate about Israel from a non-Jewish person, and I just thought that everybody should check it out. So here you go.
Hey, brown people. You know, we talk a big game about decolonization. And as someone who comes from a culture that has been colonized for centuries, I get it. But did it ever occur to you that Israel is a successful example of decolonization from Arab imperialism, from Islamic conquest, and British colonialism? It is so rare that we don't even recognize what decolonization looks like, even if it was right in front of our faces. Israel took back their ancestral lands through legal land purchases and the right of conquest by fighting several wars in self-defense. They were able to resurrect their ancient language, keep up their traditions and culture, despite being in diaspora for thousands of years. I can't even say the same for my own culture that has long been lost, and I can only wear this as a costume that isn't based on anything real anymore, like many of you. And as a native person, I recognize Israel's success story as something to aspire to.
She's right. He's right. He's 100% right. I can't really add anything to that. People who are being gaslit by Islamic imperialists would do good to do a little bit of research like that lady has done. Now on to other topics. First off, I want to play this little bit of analytics to just show you that you're in good company with a lot of people around the world. Check it out. So that's a pretty cool, right? I mean, that is a little bit of analytical information about who's all watching this with you. So next thing is, well, who's watching it on Spotify anyway? The next thing is the local issues. As you may have heard, if you're following me on social media, there have been dual hate graffiti crimes here in the city of Peoria, Illinois. On the 13th, there was anti-Muslim graffiti, which looked like this. Which is obviously crazy. It's obviously a gaslight. Nobody who supports Israel or the IDF would put kill all Muslims next to IDF symbol, for one. Obviously, like 20% of the IDF are Muslims, and there are two Muslim Israelis being held by Hamas in captivity as hostages right now, which we are also rallying to get them released. We're not just saying, oh, just release the Jewish ones only or some shit. And then the other thing is, obviously, there are not just in the IDF, but Israelis, there are tons of Muslims who are Israelis. And there are tons of Muslims who support Israel. So obviously that somebody that has no understanding of nuance in Jewish or Zionist culture and politics made that. Okay. There might be a handful of Jews who would say something like kill all Muslims because they're extremists, but those type of extremists are also against the IDF. So they wouldn't put IDF. And also most of them reject the use of the Magen David because it's associated with the State of Israel. So there's that. Furthermore, I found it very questionable that the people reporting it to the news were from Peoria for Palestine. Mashard the retard, Lawrence Mashard, Lawrence of Arabia, the local, far left guy who's talking for Palestine or whatever, is talking to the news and he says, I'm so upset to see these hate symbols and hate speech here in Peoria. Okay, number one, why are they talking to this white homosexual communist? It didn't say kill all white homosexual communists. It said kill all Muslims. First fucking response should have been from a Muslim, all right? Secondly, he said, hate symbols. Are you saying this is a fucking hate symbol? The Magen David is a hate symbol? It's not a fucking hate symbol. It's a symbol that symbolizes the Jewish people. It's to symbolize also the nation of Israel, yes. But it literally is a depiction of the map of the relationship between God and man, if you really want to get deep into it as a Kabbalistic viewpoint. But in the most commonly used and the simplest form, it's a symbol for Judaism, Jews and Judaism. All right, so it's not a fucking hate symbol. Don't try to spin that narrative now that the Magen David is a hate symbol, okay? Just because you hate it doesn't mean that it's a hate symbol. All right, just because you hate Israel and that's a symbol of something you hate doesn't make it a hate symbol. Okay. But the implication there that this was something for Peoria, for Palestine to comment on rather than the Muslims first was sketchy to me. And then they did get a quote from the imam, but he wasn't on the camera. They just talked to these like weird ass white people. And he just sent basically a meme, what it looks like a picture of himself and then some text about how he condemns it or whatever. All right. A day later, across town at Bradley University, spray paint graffiti attack occurs at the Alpha Epsilon Pi, which is a Jewish fraternity, and other surfaces right around that area. On the same block as the Chabad and the Hillel is a little bit further down. But this is what you would essentially call the Jewish area of the campus, right? Which I'm conveniently banned from. And you're like, why are you banned from there? Well, let's find out.
For putting those words in my mouth.
I have an important question. Do either of you have any position that it doesn't come down from the top of the party line and that's an original thought from either one of your heads? I'm Natasha Thompson Devine. I'm running as a third party candidate. I wasn't invited to the debate. I am running as a write-in in this district and I represent regular people on the street. I'm running a $0 campaign, which means, unlike these two, I'm not beholden to any donors or anybody's paying me money, or I don't have anybody above me except the Constitution telling me what I'm supposed to go out there and say in front of people. You're listening to two parties. This is one person. These are parties. They're going to kick me out now, but just remember, when you vote for either party, you're voting for parties. You're voting for people in Washington. People have been taking your money for years. Years they've been taking your money. My money, your kids' future. Write in Natasha Thompson Devine. Independence is the way to go.
Is your ID, please?
To go to say religious services?
None of the religious, like St. Mark's, is that
Chabad?
Is that at Hillel House?
No.
Hillel House is on campus.
No, it's not Hillel. So in case you were not able to hear, I'm now banned from Bradley University properties. And if I come back, it's considered trespassing, apparently. You know, free speech is not allowed.
For some reason, it started to get a little fuzzy at the end there when I show the graffiti actually occurring. And the video original source file isn't playing that way, but I'm going to play just the video of the girl, and it's clearly a girl, doing the spray painting at the university. Here, let me show you. I know that everybody is pro-trans and tries not to misgender people, but I think the body type, along with the bangs and the bone structure, definitely suggests this is fairly obviously a female. And you notice how she was a little bit nervous and went and looked to see if anybody was looking at her, which she forgot to check for a camera. And then she goes to proceed to go to the sidewalk, spray paint outside of there. Okay, so couple things. Obviously, it's not like a super strict religious woman. She's wearing pants. Could be a Muslim, but definitely not a very pious religious one because she's wearing pants. I'm going to show you another clip, though. And to me, it really does look like the same person did both graffitis. And I'll show you why. Here, have a look. That's so ridiculous. But look at, okay, rapers. Look at the E and R, but look at the E. Looks like a reverse 3, right? Here, it looks like a reverse 3, but then like they drew a line afterwards to try and make it look different from the other reverse 3s. You see that? Let me play that again. It looks like, it's not very common for people who are native English speakers or writers to draw the letter E in that weird single stroke, like a 3. It just looks like a letter 3 backwards. And that looks the same. And then, like, they decided to draw a line to make it not look like the other one. Like, they thought that drawing that line on there would make it look like not a 3. But I really feel like that's the same fucking person. First of all, most English writers will write like a stick and then three slashes to draw a capital E. Normally, what I've seen in my experience, anyway, I'm not, you know, a professional handwriting analyst, but in my experience, people who write like Hindi or Arabic or another alphabet natively tend to draw the E's in that single stroke like that. But regardless of the person's background, whatever it may be, it seems to be the same person, just based on that highly unusual writing style. I think it's somebody trying to kick it off. It might be somebody that supports Palestine, or maybe it's just somebody who really likes to see drama, or might be a militant atheist. I've come across militant atheists who have done stupid against Islam things. Now, from my personal perspective, all right, on Islam, is in America, American Islam isn't much of a problem. Hasn't been for me anyway. If you go back to the January 2022 episode of the podcast, you'll see Brother Riza Islam speaking at the Defeat the Mandates rally. I had no problem with putting him on. I wasn't like, well, I know this guy's a Muslim, but check out this speech. You know what I mean? There are many educated Muslims in the world who realize that Palestine is a myth and that they have no historical right to that land, and that there has never been an Arabic state called Palestine. But I also understand that every person, every person on earth believes that what they believe in is the best, whether it's their religion or their politics. But let's just talk from religious path, okay? A religious person doesn't want to kill off the people from the other religions. They would much prefer for them to convert to their way of thinking. Number one, if you go around killing off other people in the world, it creates a bad name for your religion, kind of what the Muslims are dealing with right now, where people view them very negatively because they think that, well, I don't know, I might snap and kill me, right? But the other thing is, if you really think about it, people would want their group's numbers to increase, right? Like, you know, Christians go around and proselytize, Jews accept converts. We don't, in recent history, proselytize to non-Jewish people, but we do try and get people who are already Jews and have become irreligious to try to come back to the religion, become religious. But, I mean, there's no halacha against proselytizing. We've just kind of stopped doing it because people, you know, kept trying to, they're already killing us, you know, we're not trying to push it on them because they already think that we're in their business, you know, which we're not, but whatever. So the idea that somebody would put a Magen David IDF and kill all Muslims, to me, is so incongruent that it's just mind-blowing. Aside from that, the implication that killing all of the Muslims would be a solution for the IDF is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. First of all, it's not practical. There's no way that that could possibly ever happen. How is anybody going to kill all the Muslims? how the fuck would you, you know what I mean? You could, they're the second most populous religious group in the world. Right after Christians. So are you gonna gas the whole world or something? I mean, it just is, it's ridiculous. Okay. But realistically, anybody who supports Israel or the Jewish people would not be going out and saying, kill all of anyone, but especially not kill all the Muslims when there's so many Muslims in Israel and in the IDF. Now, having said that, extremist hate doesn't play in Peoria. Whatever they think they're going to kick off with this, it's just not going to happen. First of all, the city's not political like that. These young people who are trying to be activists and stuff, they're like high school and college age. And this may have been one of them that did this. And they may be confused thinking that there's some other, you know, like Zionist force here. But this fucking town is not political like that. Most people here, you can barely get them out to vote. Okay. Most people here don't know anything about politics. And the ones who do know about politics, they're pretty already decided. There's no like, oh, I'm interested in politics, but I don't really know what side I support. That's not really a thing anymore. Okay. You know what side you support by the time you're fucking, by the time you're 18, you definitely know what side you're supporting. but it's not going to kick off like that. People around here are not going to do shit like that. Nobody is going to kick off a race war, a religious war, or any type of shit like that in a town full of basically potheads and Christians. I mean, that's like, in my experience, what I can witness is the two largest populations in Peoria area are Christians and potheads. So you're telling me that these stoned people are going to come out and fight either for or against Palestine, or the Christians, if you mess with them, they'll just shoot you. So you know, they just stay in their houses and have guns and stuff. So like, what? I don't know what they're exactly expecting. But anyway, I'm going to take a brief break for an advertisement. And then I'll return with some other drama of the Jewish world clashing with the non-Jewish world right after these here advertisements.
Are you tired of being bullied for having a whack-ass boring wardrobe? Answer is simple. Get some style. Stop dressing like a chump. Get you some stylish gear from Fight League. T-shirts, sweatshirts, stickers, and much, much more. Merch.fightleague.com. Look around and get rid of that whack-ass t-shirt you're wearing. You know you want to join the cool kids gang. Fightwing.com now!
All right. As you saw that last advertisement there, we are looking for people who can debate intelligently. So if you are a skilled speaker, an expert on some sort of topic, or just really good at debating, or just passionate about it and intelligent, get in touch. We don't have any debates up there yet because we haven't got any good enough offers yet. It's going to be quality over quantity when it comes to Fight Wing Forensics League. We will have debates at some point. But anyway, so now on to the next ridiculousness. So as you may have heard, the Candace Owens has gone off the deep end, right? She's everything nasty she's into. And, you know, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. I warned y'all about Candace Owens many years ago. I told you she was on some bullshit. I told you she had doxed right-wingers before. She wasn't really a right-winger. Okay. Within the last few days, she ended up blocking Rabbi Shmuley on social media, Shmuley Botia. And he had been going off about how she's anti-Semite and, you know, how she's obsessed with the sex thing, like the kosher sex thing, and how she was always talking about, oh, he's like a smut peddler. It's like, first of all, it's not his company, it's his daughter's. But people who don't realize the difference between a husband and wife having sex and smut are the problem. If you think that a husband and a wife being intimate is the same thing as having something to do with the porn industry, well, you're part of the fucking problem, all right? But anyway, I digress. She's been going off, you know, anti-Semitic stuff, loving Andrew Tate and hating the Jews, blah, blah, blah. So Shmuley been calling her out, and a lot of people been calling her out, but whatever. She ended up blocking Shmuley, and in the most mature thing, of course, rather than to debate him and, you know, make it seem like what he's saying is wrong for these following reasons, blah, 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 blah. Just do the immature, childish bullshit and block him, right? For the record, I only block spam, porn profiles, and that's about it. If you're really super annoying, I might just mute you and not continue to engage with you. But I'm not going to block people so they can't even see my tweets. Very childish, all right? But back to the issue. They claim that the reason people within Dom Luker circle, if you remember who Dom Luker is, he's the guy who made that completely shady faux documentary trying to paint the Chabad 770 like it was some sort of pedo child trafficking thing going on. Even though they let him in there and let him look around and gave him whiskey, and there's footage, he's in there smiling. They were super nice to him, you know. But he wants to act like it's part of some like network of tunnels that's doing human trafficking all over New York City, all this shit. And he sent Lauren Whiskey to interview a man who had been abused as a child, sadly, who grew up in Chabad. And they used his clips and like juxtaposed it and made it, you know, seem like the abuse he was talking about was something that was going on at 770. Okay. And the guy came out and explained that, you know, I had no idea what this was going to be used for. They told me this was going to be an interview that was for a documentary that's supposed to help other survivors of abuse. And so they just basically re-abused this guy, right? But the weird thing is that they claim that Shmuley said the N-word, right? And I don't believe it. I don't believe it for one moment. Why don't I believe it? I'll tell you just a second. Let me adjust something here. We're about to have power emergency there. I had to plug something in. All right. Now, why don't I believe the Shmuley Boti actually said this? Number one, he posts videos and not audio. He posts videos all day long. they say that it was something that he posted, and then she blocked him because of it, and then he quickly deleted it. If he was saying the N-word in there, why would he post it? Why would he post it and then delete it? Like, oh, I accidentally uploaded something that I know that is damning. I mean, come on. The guy's not a moron. He's America's rabbi. He's on TV all the time. He knows what's fucking appropriate language and what's not. All right. And then secondly, or maybe thirdly, the reality is that, think about it. This guy is super anti-racist. He just had Al Sharpton with him on Hanukkah. I mean, really, is he going to be calling people the N-word on recordings by March? Like, that's a pretty quick shift. Like, well, he got super, like, red-pilled on the blacks between Hanukkah and now. I mean, it's ridiculous, okay? And also, how does somebody have audio of something that a guy who only posts videos supposedly said? It makes no sense that this audio is being posted set to a still photo of the rabbi. It makes absolutely no sense. Who posts fucking a still of their own face with them talking over it? He's never once done that. That's not when it's his format. It's nobody really does that anyway. And it makes no sense. I think it's either AI or they just did some advanced audio editing, like kind of like that song, you know, and I think to myself, what the fuck? Like, he doesn't really say what the fuck in the song. You know, you can audio edit, right? So I think that's what this is. If it's not, they just, you know, used an AI based on his voice. But trigger warning is going to play the N-word in a moment, and it's for educational purposes. And if you are sensitive, please turn away now, because you will be hearing in context a racial slur. So here, this is supposedly Rabbi Shmuley, according to Dom Luker, Jew haters on Twitter.
And let me tell you something, okay? That Jew-hating nigger is getting sued.
Do you believe that's real? Why would it?
And let me tell you something, okay? That Jew-hating nigger is getting sued.
Why would that happen? Why? Why would he say that? First of all, sued for what? If he was going to be suing her, the only thing that he could sue her for was harassment and defamation, which, if he goes and calls her the N-word, that makes it basically mutual. So it kind of fucking ruins his whole case, doesn't it? If this were a real thing, if he was really trying to sue her for defamation or something, why would he call her the N-word in the middle of that? Secondly, why would he post that she was getting sued rather than send her a summons? We're Jews. We're not going to talk about a bunch of legal action and it's not already in the works. He's intelligent person, okay? He's a little bit wild and he gets kind of, you know, excited sometimes, but first of all, that was not an excited sounding clip. If he was going to blurt out the N-word, I'm sure he'd have to be pretty fucking excited to do it. And that just sounds like he totally mellowly just said that. And then what context is that? Who's he talking to? When he addresses people in his videos, he says, hi, everybody. I just wanted to tell you that blah, 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 blah. And he looks directly at the camera and he talks to the audience. So is he having a conversation with the audience, telling them that that N-word, that Jew-hating N-word, is going to get sued? Or is this a sample of him quoting somebody else? In either case, it makes no sense. And the fact that there's no video of it pretty much disproves that it's anything near making sense. Okay, it's not real. It's fucking clearly, in one way or another, edited. It was not ever a thing to post audio. He doesn't post audio set to a still fucking picture of himself. He just doesn't do that. And that's like, why wouldn't you have the video if it was a video that he said this in? So obviously some Jew-hating schmucks on the Twitter made that bullshit up, clearly.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Yeah. So if you have some video proof and you're like, oh no, Natasha, you're wrong. Rabbi Shmuley actually did call her the N-word and blah, blah, blah. Well, you're going to have to prove it. I don't believe you. Okay. And, you know, also, I mean, Shmuley is like so like anti-racist, it's almost like embarrassing, right? I mean, he's like so hardcore, like loving every other community so much. So people have actually gone in his comments and be like, well, that's nice, you know, but what about for the, you know, I prefer when you're speaking up for the Jews and this black issue isn't really our issue or something like that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, nice try, AI. That's all I can really say about that. But that is essentially what I wanted to play for you guys today. And you can leave a comment either here in the Twitch chat while we're live, or else, of course, if you're watching this on Spotify, respond to the little question about what you thought of this episode on Spotify. Keep in mind that I will be doing these midnight specials every weeknight of Ranch Rock and Reggae. And then on Sunday, probably around 2 in the afternoon, maybe. Every other Sunday, we're doing Fight Wing Sunday School, upon which we talk about religious stuff, Jewish stuff, etc. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode, and don't forget to visit all of those links that are going by in the little ticker underneath. And please, if you enjoy this content and you would like to see it continue to be made, please do go to donate.fightwing.com and donate. Help keep the internet on and all that kind of stuff. And pay for the extra electricity that I'm using to have this set up. So enjoy your weekend. And after this, I will be back shortly DJing, because Saturday night is reggae night. Good night.